It's Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret. You're with us here on the Ideas Network. Coming up on Central Time, three Milwaukee rivers are undergoing testing for substances like caffeine and ibuprofen. We'll get the details.
First, over the last few weeks, President-elect Donald Trump has been announcing his cabinet picks. They include people like Elaine Chao for the Department of Transportation, who has gotten praise from some establishment Republicans.
But there are some more controversial choices in the mix, too. There have been questions raised about Trump's pick for Secretary of State, ExxonMobil Chief Executive Rex Tillerson. Senators from both parties have raised concerns about his ties to Russia.
With confirmation hearings for Trump's picks on the horizon, Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer said that Democrats are planning for a detailed process.
Shirley Ann Warshaw joins us now to talk more about the cabinet hearings. She's a presidential scholar at Gettysburg College. Shirley Ann, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Well, I want to maybe eliminate a lot of the drama up front. It sounds like you're not expecting any of these cabinet picks to be rejected when all is said and done.
Well,
is that right?
I think it's unlikely. Historically, we tend to approve, the Senate does approve the president's nominees. Excuse me. The last time we saw a cabinet officer rejected was with George H.W. Bush when the Senate rejected John Tower for Secretary of Defense, and Tower had somewhat of a history of womanizing and alcohol, and the Senate was worried about him being compromised as Secretary of Defense. And that's when Dick Cheney, of course, takes over as Secretary of Defense. Cheney was the second pick. Historically, they may give the cabinet officers a tough time in the confirmation hearings, but they tend to let them through. I think in this particular case, the Democrats are going to have to think long and hard about who they want to try and block. And it may be Tillerson, but I think they're more likely to go after Scott Pruitt at EPA, who is, famously sued EPA as much as he can, is a climate denier, says, oh no, there is no climate change problem. And, absolutely against, Obama's, power plan.
Before we get into some of the particulars about those candidates, we used to think, if you've got 40-plus senators, you can filibuster, you can really put this off.
Mm-hmm.
That's not true
right.
Anymore, is it? Because of what Democrats did when they were in charge.
Exactly. Well, it's an interesting story, is that the Republicans in the Senate, we go back famously to Minority Leader Senator McConnell of Kentucky at the time, and he said his main goal is to do everything he possibly could, and this is in 2009 when President Obama comes in, to make President Obama's life miserable. Everything possible. And not only was he going after legislation, which he did, but he really went after almost every single nominee, every board, every commission, every cabinet officer, every sub-cabinet officer, to make his life utterly miserable. And there were numerous appointments that President Obama had made that were sitting there for months, some for years. And finally, in 2013, Senator Reid said, okay, enough is enough. We're going to change the rules and make it a simple majority, and we're not going to let them filibuster these nominees. Yes to Supreme Court nominees, but all other executive branch nominees. And they knew that 2014 was coming up and there was a chance they could lose the Senate, which made it even more important to change the rules so they could get everybody on the docket through before the 14 elections came up. And that's, of course, what happened. The Democrats lost the Senate in 14, but at least they got through everybody that was sitting there for such a long time, many since 2009.
Now, though, Republicans control the Senate with 52,
right.
I believe it is, votes.
Yep.
President-elect Trump will be making these appointments. Democrats, on their own, can't really do anything to reject any of these cabinet appointees. Is that right?
Right, because what Reid essentially did is he said it's a simple majority. You can't filibuster executive branch nominees. Simple majority, and the Republicans, as you said, have 52 votes right now. So it really will take three, because remember, it can't be 50-50 because the vice president can cast the tie-breaking vote, and he's a Republican. It'll be Mike Pence. So they need three Republicans. And they might get three Republicans, assuming that every single Democrat, what's Manchin going to do on some of these things, for instance? Assuming they get 100%, all 48 Democrats, they need three Republicans. And I think that three Republicans may vote one time, for instance, CPA administrator. Twice seems unlikely. That would be Tillerson. So, you know, the odds are that they're going to get all or maybe one through.
Talking to Shirley Ann Warshaw from Gettysburg College about President-elect Trump's cabinet nomination so far, their prospects before the Senate come next year. Let's get into that Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State appointment.
Mm-hmm.
We've seen concerns raised, as we mentioned earlier, senators from both parties who are worried about Russia already and then saying,
right.
Oh, here's this guy with ties to Russia because of the business he's been running for the last bunch of years. Is that
right.
going to be something that maybe a John McCain even would vote against someone
yeah,
for?
Yeah, again, here's the issue. John McCain is, to some extent, an establishment Republican. And he may have disagreed with George W. Bush on some issues, the torture issue with the O'Fine detainee bill, for instance. But, you know, he's a mainstream Republican. And the mainstream people, you know, Jim Baker, who was George H.W. Bush's Secretary of State, widely respected. Former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Her deputy is NSA, Steve Hadley. These are people that are mainstream Republicans that have come out in support of Tillerson. And the Republicans want to regain some control, the mainstream Republicans, over the Republican Party and this administration. So for them to go against the mainstream Republican nominee seems unlikely to me.
And then you also mentioned Scott Pruitt as the EPA director nominee.
Right.
Who in the Republican Senate might turn against him?
Yeah, I think that several might go against it. You know, broadly, I don't think any of the Southern, I think the Southern Senate bloc is going to stay very, very supportive of every single nominee. Which means, you know, it's going to be one of the Northerners, you know, a Maine senator. You know, I think you're going to see a couple of the Northern Midwestern senators in my home state of Pennsylvania. Senator Toomey, for instance, could be one of those senators. Senator Collins of Maine, that's two. You know, I think you'll see some breaking of this. Your Wisconsin senator, Senator Johnson. We'll see.
So Democrats are saying, even though they don't necessarily have a good shot at blocking people, it looks like they may try to extend out hearings as much as possible and get as much bad PR for President-elect Trump as possible, targeting billionaire or high income nominees, a Health and Human Services person who seems to be into the idea of privatizing Medicare, which Donald Trump said he wouldn't cut. So what do you make of the prospects for at least a PR pulpit here?
Oh, I think you've nailed it. I think that's exactly what's going to happen, that the Democrats are going to use as much of the bully pulpit as they possibly can to make sure the American public, which I don't think the American public really does, understand who is going to be in this cabinet. Right now, there are names that have been in the paper here or there, but I don't think most people really are following this. So the more that the Senate Democrats can use their bully pulpit during this process to say, you know, do you really understand who these people are, I think is going to be very important.
I want to talk about one more appointment coming that a lot of people are watching, I'm sure, a Supreme Court justice nominee.
Right.
Donald Trump will be able to fill that seat that hasn't been filled by and won't be filled by Merrick Garland. Do the same rules apply, or can Democrats actually filibuster that under current Senate rules?
Well, right now, they appear to be able to still filibuster the Supreme Court nominees. But again, rules can be changed. So let's not underestimate the power of the majority party to change rules. Right now, that holds. I think that's going to be very contentious. Again, I think you've made a very important point that the Democrats are going to make hay on that. And they remain. Remember, the Democrats are beside themselves on what the Republicans in the Senate did to Merrick Garland. So they're going to make this as absolutely difficult as they possibly can. And the names appear to be coming out of Heritage and being extremely conservative, far more than either Alito or Roberts were in the Bush years. So I think that's going to be quite a fight.
To be continued. Shirley Ann, thanks a lot for joining us.
My great pleasure. Thanks very much for having me.
That was Shirley Ann Warshaw. She's a presidential scholar at Gettysburg College. She joined us to talk about the upcoming hearings for President-elect Donald Trump's cabinet appointees.